I like the way you said that, Dave.
Putting your pastors on the spot is right.
But you don't have to preach on predestination.
Yeah. Is that next Sunday? That's next Sunday, predestination. That's funny. I remember I took an interim pastoral role in a congregation, and it was during Leader Magazine's sermon series during that time for Mennonite Church USA was the seven deadly sins. And the two that I got were lust and gluttony. I said, you got to be kidding me. I think I want to say before I dive into any of this that I know that some folks really struggle with anxiety. And so this, just like knowing that this was what we were preaching about might have been a trigger for you. And, you know, statistically, there are some of us probably who really struggle with anxiety. I hope that if that's the case, that you can remember that God loves you. You're not going at it alone. Therapy and counseling and other forms of professional help are just that. They're help. And so if that's where you're at today, or if you've been putting off getting some help, I hope that you can get it. And if you need someone to talk to, we're here for you as your pastoral staff. Because we love you, and God loves you, and nobody has to journey alone. Okay? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It seems like there's so much that we could worry about. The things that have happened, the things that are happening, the things that might happen. And the more that we open our eyes to how vulnerable life truly is, the more that we look around and see how shaky things can feel in our family or in our personal life or in our community, the more overwhelming it can feel. It can feel like wave after wave after wave. I don't know, some of us have been to the beach a lot, and some of us have never been before, but I can remember as a kid going to the beach. We went to the beach twice when I was growing up. The first time was whenever... We took a vacation. I grew up in a pastor's family. We didn't get away. We went to the annual meeting for the church, right? In the Church of the Brethren, it was annual conference, and we would road trip to where it was. And I can remember going to the beach as one of those trips. And I can remember as a small child falling whenever I was there, and while I was just up to my waist, and all of a sudden the wave came in, and it knocked me over, and then another wave right after that knocked me over. And pretty soon, down was up, up was down, side to side. I had no idea where I was. All I knew is that I could not find my feet. And for some of us, those waves of worry and anxiety, they wash over us, battering us, feeling like we can't possibly find our feet. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe that's something you've dealt with every day for the last 10 years. Maybe it's something that you've had certain seasons of your life that you've experienced. I've had a couple seasons of my life where it felt like I could not find my feet. Like I said, for some of us, it's rooted in the past. It's things that maybe have happened. It's harms that have occurred. It's things from our history that have happened that cause us to feel so shaky and anxious in the present. For some of us, it's things that are currently happening, situations that make us feel bound up and tight. It's things that are around us, in our environment. It might be a broader societal thing. It might be something that's happening in church. It might be something that's happening in our family. It might be something that we feel like we have no power to control. Or maybe we think we can control it and it just can't seem to grab it. You know what I'm talking about? Guilty. I always think I can control things. Okay, and for some of us, it's things that might happen in the future, the near future or the far away future. It might be death and dying. It might be things that we can see coming down the pike because of our family history. It might be loss that feels inevitable. It might be the reoccurrence of something that we feared or dreaded from the past. It might be a change that is coming down the pike. It might be retirement. It might be sending our children to school. It might be something in the future that might happen or might not happen. It too can make us feel trapped, bound up with anxiety and worry. And for some of us, that worrying is about stuff that is very tangible, it's very real, and it's very imminent. right? It's happening. It's right at our door. And for some of us, it might not be so tangible. That's still something that can bind us up in anxiety and in worry. I'm going to read the passage again. I want you to listen close. Can you listen close? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And, well, the verse that I added, right? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I don't think I can preach this sermon without both verses. So I don't know who suggested this passage for a sermon. I tried for a while to ring and wrap myself around. And if I had 2 weeks to preach in a row, this week and next week, I would preach verse 6 today and verse 7 next week. But I'm going to do both today. Please forgive me. A few notes as I was unpacking the scripture over the course of this week. The first part is, but in every situation. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. We find ourselves in the middle of ordinary time. And I'm going to actually ask Jackson to play a song for us, because I'm going to refer to it in about 5 minutes. And it comes from, I've been working on a project for faith formation as part of my other job called the Soil and the Seed Project. Some of you have heard me talk about it before. We have a new issue of it coming out. It comes with a CD, a download card, and a book of prayers and art. So I'll put some in the foyer. They come in these white envelopes. So if you don't have this one, it's coming out this week. Nobody has these yet unless you got one in the mail. So I'll put some in there. Jackson's going to play the first track from the new collection of music. And it's called For the Tired and Alone. And it comes from this season of ordinary time, which is the time sort of in between, when we focus on the everyday rhythms of following Jesus leading up before Advent. Jackson, can you play that song for us? It's about a minute long.
For the tired and alone, and the far away from home, for the angry and for the afraid, for those who can't fall asleep, the shepherd will keep you and loves you. You're never alone. Peace, peace, God give us peace.
Sometimes I think we think of prayer as like dental pain. And we only need to really pray and pour out our hearts to God when it gets to level 9 or level 8. Are you with me? As if somehow like God can't handle our levels 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 prayers. When we go through the little ordinary things in life, like not being able to sleep because something keeps running around in our brain. For some reason, in those moments, in those every situation moments, in those daily comings and goings, we don't turn to God. We turn to ourselves, thinking somehow that in our worrying, we're going to work this out. Or just feeling so bound up that we can't let go of it. I think the invitation in this passage is to turn to God and turn towards God, not only in the big stuff, but also in the little stuff of everyday life. I think what it does when we turn to God in the little everyday life things is it reframes our thinking in the ordinary, so that when those waves come crashing down, we've consistently looked to God for our salvation. Remember last week, if you were here, I preached on manna, daily manna, bread from heaven, God's sustaining provision. I think that many of us are guilty of turning to God only as a last resort and only when things get really bad or at a critical level. God loves us and welcomes us in those moments for sure, but God invites us to come in the small, ordinary things in life. That's the first thing, but in every situation. The second thing I noticed as I unpacked this passage was, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. But how do we turn to God in the everyday and in the ordinary? We turn through prayer. There's a famous comedian who once was giving an award ceremony speech, and he said the thing that he wanted the young people who were listening to hear the most clearly was that they needed to pray. It's free and it's good for your soul, is what Andy Dwyer from The Office, Chris Pratt, said. It's free and it's good for our souls to turn towards God in prayer, to hold out what we have in our hands, and also hold out our hands to receive hope in our time of need. Prayer is God-centered and theocentric. It's focusing on who God is in the midst of our hard time. In this holding out, reaching out practice of prayer, our focus is shifted from us as individuals, from our history, from our present, and from what might happen in the future. Our focus is shifted from our circumstances and all that is around us, and as real and as harrowing as they might be, our focus is shifted to God. When we pray, we lift up the blinds. Now that's a phrase you've never heard before, I'm guessing. When we pray, we lift up the blinds. So in our house, we come downstairs in the morning around somewhere between 5:30 and 8. Usually around 6:30. We come downstairs. The sun is already up, right? And we have blinds pulled down in our house that block the sunlight. We don't have air conditioning in our house, and it's really handy for keeping our downstairs under 83 degrees, okay? So we pull down these thermal blinds that block the light, that keep the heat from coming in, and we do that before we go to bed. And the first thing we do when we go downstairs, the light is already outside as we go over to the blinds and the kids lift them up. Now, when our littlest children lift up the blinds, they go about this far. The next ones go this far. And Eliana has figured out how to like climb on the windowsill and like push up with like a little poke stick, you know what I'm talking about? And she can get the blind the whole way up. When we pray, we lift up the blinds. We let the light in that already exists. We let the light of God's love shine into our lives and into our hearts in a way that happens whenever we open ourselves up to it. And I'm not saying it's some sort of magic formula where we say the certain prayer in a certain way and suddenly peace washes over our whole beings. But I am saying that what happens is when we lift up the blinds to God's light that already exists, that is already shining over the whole world, God's light can shine in and illumine places that feel like they are held bound in the shadow. And if you've never lived with something that felt bound in the shadow of your heart, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. So we pray because we can give thanks because of who God is and that God is good and that God's love finds us. We can pray knowing that even when we sit in a room without light, that God's light can shine in our hearts. We can dare to believe that the God who made the universe hears us when we pray. And the last thing I want to point out is, in the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This transcendent quality is bigger, that's bigger than we can imagine, is not just talking about the quantity of God's peace, it's talking about the quality of God's peace. That God's peace can shine in our hearts, and that the peace that God provides is bigger and better than the peace that the world offers. You two are having too much fun. You're gonna go sit with Katie. If you're new to Zion this morning, I'm a parent. That has never happened to me while I was preaching. And I could be very anxious about it. I could be really anxious about it, right? I'm a very distractible person. I have small children, and I decided today, because it was the blessing of the Sundays, that it was worth it to bring, it was Maria's turn to come to Zion, and Isaiah was a rising kindergartner, and I knew there was something special. And so I brought both of them. Thank you for being so gracious. A very human moment. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. The quality of peace that God gives us is a deeper quality. It's a lasting quality. Do you remember when Jesus talks to his disciples about having troubled hearts and giving peace in John 14? If you look back in John 14, verse 1, it says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then later in verse 7, it says, "Peace I give to you, peace I leave with you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I do not give as the world gives. There's a different quality of peace in the peace that God extends to us. I think the temptation that I face as a parent and as a teacher and as a pastor and as a put your things in there, grandparent, aunt, uncle, sibling. The biggest problem that I have is that I can trick myself into imagining that with my hands, I can bend the world of my life into the shape that I think it should be. And so when bad things seem to be knocking at my door, I grab them as tight as I can and I bend them, thinking that I can do it. If I only analyze it enough, if I only work hard enough, if I only work the angles, somehow I will figure out how to make it work. If I hover and I grab, I can fix everything, even put into submission the raging storm that is going on in my heart as I worry. And in those moments, what I really want isn't just peace. Are you with me? What I really want is a contract. I want a guarantee from God. I want God to sit down at the table at Showalter Esquire's desk, and I want God to get out a fancy pen or whatever kind of pen that God wants to use, pencil, and I want God to write on the contract, "This situation will resolve exactly as Seth Chrisman has imagined it to be. I am God," signed. Tetragrammaton, that's the four-letter name for God in Scripture, YHWH. That's what I want. I don't actually want peace in that situation. I want a guarantee. I want a guarantee that my perspective, my hopes, will be exactly how things will work out. And that's how I try to make peace on my own. The reason I wanted that song was that line at the chorus, it says, "Peace, peace, God give us peace. We cannot make peace on our own." I think that how I feel in those moments is pretty understandable. It's almost even reasonable. It relies on my reason. It's not focused on God. And if I look to myself as provider, and if I look to myself as creator of peace, if I look to myself as all powerful and all knowing, and I ask God to rubber stamp my hopes and prayers and requests because I said some magic words and now I tricked God into giving me exactly what I wanted, in my best moments, I can see that that's maybe not the right way. Verse 7 says, "the peace of God." And verse 9 says, "the God of peace." Isn't that fun how the writer did that? "The peace of God" in verse 7, and "the God of peace will be with you" in verse 9. I remember there was someone in my life who was living on the brink in mental health, and they said that the verse that really meant a lot to them was Isaiah 26, verse 3. "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast or stayed on you because they trust in you. That is the peace of God, Zion Mennonite Church. The peace of God flows out of the heart of God, who is the God of peace. And that is what will guard and keep our hearts. If we did not have a potluck today, if we did not have a business meeting, I would preach for 30 more minutes. And what I would do is I would have asked four of you to share stories of what it meant to walk this walk. Because some of you walk it way better than I do. I told someone whenever they were walking out yesterday, when it came to the temptations of money, I'm not that tempted. It's true. When it comes to worrying about my kids' health, I'm a mess. That's me. I need to submit to God and allow God's peace to fill me and to trust even in those moments. And I would love to hear, maybe there's some way that we as pastoral team can think about hearing some of those stories. Because some of you know how to walk in the way of peace, even in the midst of anxiety and anxiousness, serious anxiety and anxiousness, in ways that I would like to learn from you. We don't have that time. So before Welby comes up and leads a song, and before we have the rest of the service, I would like for you to imagine in your brains right now, lifting up the blinds of your heart in some area. Something that felt tucked in the shadow, something that you've maybe tried to wrestle and bend, something that you want God's light and love to illuminate. Think to yourself, imagine, how could I better walk in God's way of peace? Who's someone who could physically hold my hand as I try to walk into God's peace, even in the midst of this anxiousness and this anxiety? Maybe it's a professional. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's reaching out to my pastor. Think to yourself, who can walk with me as I walk into this path of peace and away from the anxiety? How can I pattern my day in a way that welcomes God's peacemaking in my heart so that it walks with me throughout the day? And the last question you can ask yourself is, what is God saying to me right now? Think about it. What is God saying to me right now? Amen.